Listening. Task 1. For items 1 to 10, listen to the talk about Bogota, the capital of Colombia, and decide whether the statements 1 to 10 are true, A, or false, B, according to the text you hear. You will hear the text twice. You have 20 seconds to look through the items. Now we begin.
The ex-mayor of Bogota, Enrique Penalosa, has argued that if we ever achieve a successful city for children, we will have built the perfect city for all citizens. In Bogota, the capital of Colombia, they have tried to fulfill this ideal by transforming what was once a chaotic city, badly affected by congestion and gripped by fear of crime, into one far better for children. Penalosa is largely credited with this transformation through the large-scale reforms he initiated at the turn of the century. However, if other mayors hadn't secured the city's finances before him and developed his reforms afterwards, the changes wouldn't have been so successful. One of the first steps he took was to clear a large slum that dominated the center of Bogota and replace it with a large public space. The slum had been a no-go zone for police and had effectively created a barrier between the affluent north and the more deprived south of the city. By demolishing it, the city was immediately brought closer together. Having cleared one space, Penalosa's administration then expropriated the land of a private country club in the north of the city. Its golf course and polo fields were converted into a free park with sports facilities for all. Then they started to tackle congestion and the lack of facilities for pedestrians and cyclists. Wide pavements were built and cars were prevented from parking on them, a move that led to huge protests. The government built miles and miles of cycle lanes and set up a huge network of buses, again using separate lanes. They also imposed restrictions on car use and increased taxes on petrol, the money from which went back into the new transport system. Finally, they poured money into education, building new schools and a network of libraries, several in the most deprived neighborhoods. The schools were also given thousands of computers connected to both the internet and the libraries. The program resulted in a huge increase in enrollment and school attendance. During his time in office, Penalosa did not escape criticism, and after his 3-year term in office, he failed to be reelected in subsequent attempts. Some critics hate aspects of the road laws. Others complain new housing is far from their original home in the city center.
You have 20 seconds to check your answers. Now listen to the text again.
The ex-mayor of Bogota, Enrique Penalosa, has argued that if we ever achieve a successful city for children, we will have built the perfect city for all citizens. In Bogota, the capital of Colombia, they have tried to fulfill this ideal by transforming what was once a chaotic city, badly affected by congestion and gripped by fear of crime, into one far better for children. Penalosa is largely credited with this transformation through the large-scale reforms he initiated at the turn of the century. However, if other mayors hadn't secured the city's finances before him and developed his reforms afterwards, the changes wouldn't have been so successful. One of the first steps he took was to clear a large slum that dominated the center of Bogota and replace it with a large public space. The slum had been a no-go zone for police and had effectively created a barrier between the affluent north and the more deprived south of the city. By demolishing it, the city was immediately brought closer together. Having cleared one space, Penalosa's administration then expropriated the land of a private country club in the north of the city. Its golf course and polo fields were converted into a free park with sports facilities for all. Then they started to tackle congestion and the lack of facilities for pedestrians and cyclists. Wide pavements were built and cars were prevented from parking on them, a move that led to huge protests. The government built miles and miles of cycle lanes and set up a huge network of buses, again using separate lanes. They also imposed restrictions on car use and increased taxes on petrol, the money from which went back into the new transport system. Finally, they poured money into education, building new schools and a network of libraries, several in the most deprived neighborhoods. The schools were also given thousands of computers connected to both the internet and the libraries. The program resulted in a huge increase in enrollment and school attendance. During his time in office, Penalosa did not escape criticism, and after his three-year term in office, he failed to be reelected in subsequent attempts. Some critics hate aspects of the road laws. Others complain new housing is far from their original home in the city center.
You have 20 seconds to check your answers. For items 11 to 15, listen to the conversation. Choose the correct answer A, B, or C to answer questions 11 to 15. You will hear the text only once. Now you have 25 seconds to study the questions. Now we begin.
How was it in Birmingham? You went to see your parents, didn't you?
Oh, Birmingham was fine, but it was an absolute nightmare getting there and back.
Really? I heard there was some disruption on the line.
Yeah, just a bit. We had to come back by coach in the end because there were no Gold Link trains running on Saturday.
What? None?
Well, we could have got a train with another company, but they had engineering works, which meant we'd have to get a bus part of the way. So it was going to take over 4 hours.
4? That's outrageous. Didn't they warn you that this was going to happen?
Well, this is it. When I bought the ticket, I said we were coming back on Saturday, but they didn't say anything. It was lucky I rang up to check the train times on Saturday morning. Otherwise, we would have turned up at the station and had nowhere to go.
So are you going to try and get your money back then?
Too right I am. I mean, it wasn't just the return journey. On the way out, the train left late, and then we were all orders off at the next stop to catch a connecting train that was supposed to make up the lost time. But when we got off, no one had the faintest idea what was going on. There was no connecting train, and we had to wait almost an hour for the next one to come along. And of course, when it arrived, it was packed, so we had to stand most of the way.
It must have spoiled your weekend.
This is the end of the listening comprehension part. You have 1 minute to complete your answer. integrated listening and reading. Read the text below, then listen to a talk on the same topic. You will notice that some ideas coincide and some differ in them. Answer questions 16 to 25 by choosing A, if the idea is expressed in both materials, B, if it can be found only in the reading text, C, if it can be found only in the audio recording, and D, if neither of the materials expresses the idea. Now you have 10 minutes to read the text below. Now listen to a talk and then do the tasks. Questions 16 to 25. Comparing the text above and the talk, you will hear the text twice. Now we begin. Meet Mr. Craig Ashton, who's going to tell us about his experience of living in Russia. Craig works as a language coach and translator, as well as occasionally acts for Russian TV programs. Recently, he's also added Arthur to his CV, with a collection of his blog posts being turned into a popular book, Excuse Me, I'm a Foreigner.
I studied Russian as well as German at university because I'd always been interested in Russian history and literature, and I also thought that Russian wasn't such a common language to learn, so it might give me a bit of an advantage when it came to work. I first went to St. Petersburg as a student at Exeter. It was a bit of a shock at first. Russia was just coming out of a pretty terrible time in the 1990s, and it was noticeably poor. Half the cars in the street were battered old Ladas and Skodas, and a lot of buildings were in a poor state of repair. However, I had a great time. I started to get to know people and the culture and had a really positive experience. I thought when I graduated that I would be a translator in the UK, but I loved my time in St. Petersburg so much that I decided to go back and try and improve my language and find work there. I've been here ever since. It's changed quite a lot over the years. The buildings have been restored. There are a lot of expensive cars now instead of Ladas, and the atmosphere is more relaxed. Off the back of my teaching work, I started writing a few stories on Facebook to help Russians learn English. Sometimes people can be afraid to learn, so I would post stories about my own experiences of learning Russian, how many mistakes I made, and embarrassing incidents that happened, to show that it is the same for everyone at the start, but that it gets better. Then I started to expand these stories to start writing about my other experiences in Russia, and these were even more popular with lots of comments and interaction. Then one day I suddenly got an email from AST, who are this massive publishing house here, wanting to turn my stories into a book. It was slightly unreal. The reaction to the book has been amazing. I have had people sending me photos and videos of themselves and family reading it, and somebody actually thanked me for writing it. There was quite a lot of negativity written about Russia and the West, and although it's directed at the government, people can feel like it is being aimed at them personally and how they live. My book is generally pretty positive. My life here has been great. Russia is the country that adopted me and gave me a job, a family, friends, and adventures. It is my life. I feel I must be here. If I leave when there are hard times, what kind of relationship is that?
Now you'll hear the talk again in 30 seconds. Now listen to the talk again. Meet Mr. Craig Ashton, who's going to tell us about his experience of living in Russia. Craig works as a language coach and translator, as well as occasionally acts for Russian TV programs. Recently, he's also added Arthur to his CV, with a collection of his blog posts being turned into a popular book, Excuse Me, I'm a Foreigner.
I studied Russian as well as German at university because I'd always been interested in Russian history and literature, and I also thought that Russian wasn't such a common language to learn, so it might give me a bit of an advantage when it came to work. I first went to St. Petersburg as a student at Exeter. It was a bit of a shock at first. Russia was just coming out of a pretty terrible time in the 1990s, and it was noticeably poor. Half the cars in the street were battered old Ladas and Skodas, and a lot of buildings were in a poor state of repair. However, I had a great time. I started to get to know people and the culture and had a really positive experience. I thought when I graduated that I would be a translator in the UK, but I loved my time in St. Petersburg so much that I decided to go back and try and improve my language and find work there. I've been here ever since. It's changed quite a lot over the years. The buildings have been restored. There are a lot of expensive cars now instead of Ladas, and the atmosphere is more relaxed. Off the back of my teaching work, I started writing a few stories on Facebook to help Russians learn English. Sometimes people can be afraid to learn, so I would post stories about my own experiences of learning Russian, how many mistakes I made, and embarrassing incidents that happened, to show that it is the same for everyone at the start, but that it gets better. Then I started to expand these stories to start writing about my other experiences in Russia, and these were even more popular with lots of comments and interaction. Then one day I suddenly got an email from AST, who are this massive publishing house here, wanting to turn my stories into a book. It was slightly unreal. The reaction to the book has been amazing. I have had people sending me photos and videos of themselves and family reading it, and somebody actually thanked me for writing it. There is quite a lot of negativity written about Russia and the West, and although it's directed at the government, people can feel like it is being aimed at them personally and how they live. My book is generally pretty positive. My life here has been great. Russia is the country that adopted me and gave me a job, a family, friends, and adventures. It is my life. I feel I must be here. If I leave when there are hard times, what kind of relationship is that?
Now you have 5 minutes to finish the task and transfer your answers to the answer sheet. This is the end of the integrated task. Now you can start working on your reading task.